For some reason, it was not whenever I was directing the correct audio source to the input on OBS, it just wasn't doing anything. And I've had something like that before, so I just had to close OBS, start again, and then the audio source picked up as it should. So we're back.
Cool.
So, yes.
We are back.
To reiterate, Bob sent us a whole box of Game Boy stuff like November last year, which is, and that was like not that long after we'd started talking to each other, because it was September when I contacted you for the first time saying, I just said, can I, I saw on your website you've got shots of one chip Super Nintendo motherboards. Would it be possible to have a high res one without the watermark, and we'll give you credit for it? And you said, oh yeah, would you like me to ship you one? I'm like, who is this guy?
it's funny, because although I'm not a hoarder, like when it comes to the extra video game stuff, it's that hoarder mentality of like, well, I really should get a third one chip O2, so it was just a have. So now that you just totally justified in my brain reasons for having all that
stuff.
Well,
and it's funny because I actually searched my email to find our original email exchange so I could download again that shot of the one chip O3 motherboard to use in this video, because you might have noticed that there was a shot when I was giving the quick overview of the Super Nintendo video quality. I said, later systems, I have that shot, that original shot you sent me way back in September last year. So you sent all that stuff. And to be honest, at that point, like, we had been saying, we're going to do a Game Boy episode. And in my mind, it was just a how to get the best picture out of your Game Boy games on your TV was what I thought I was going to do. I thought I was just going to do an episode about Super Game Boy and Game Boy Player. And that was it, is what I thought it was going to be. And then I open up this box from Bob, and it's got modded Game Boys and all these backlight mods and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, there's like all this stuff. I thought, well, I guess we're going to do an episode about Game Boy in general, not just on TV. So
yeah,
everyone can blame Bob for this episode being an hour long rather than probably like 18 minutes.
But I think it's really cool that it ended up being everything like this, because it becomes more than just an RGB episode, I think. It's kind of like more of it's like a history and like technology video as well.
Right. At first, I was kind of hoping, when I saw the length of the script that you guys were writing, I almost thought, well, why don't you do it in three different parts? But after seeing the full thing start to finish, it flowed so nicely, and to break it up would have just, I don't know, it would have kind of taken away from it. So I loved how you guys just had it as one big piece. And then that gives you opportunities to do short little follow-ups in the future,
Right. I mean, sort of the goal. I mean, every time you do a 200 episode, you kind of hope for it to be like the be-all, catch-all thing, but every system is going to have something that you missed or something that happens in the future, that's what the 300 series is for. So, for example, hopefully in the future, this Woozle HDMI mod, we can do a 300 series just dedicated to that.
Are you dropping frames like crazy
right
now?
Yeah, I'm dropping frames like crazy. I can try lowering the bit rate, but I don't know what else I can do. That's just what happens.
Yeah, I've been talking to that Woozle guy about once a week, and I think he's a college student finishing up. I could be wrong on that. I think, or at least he's in some kind of towards the end of his classes, and in his spare time he's doing all these mods. So he's doing the Game Boy Advance one, he's doing a Super Nintendo analog digital HDMI converter, and then a couple of others. I think he said he was just kind of dabbling in a few. So hopefully he doesn't lose interest, because he's on track to having some really cool stuff come out.
Should I start the stream again? Try lowering my bitrate? I mean, my bitrate is usually pretty low anyway, because I don't know why.
Yeah, people are saying they're getting like one frame a second.
I don't know why when I stream to YouTube, this happens. Hold on. I'll be back. Put the stream back. I have no idea what it's doing. Okay. It looks like it's a stable connection right now. I lowered the bitrate a good bit. You know, I pay a lot of money to have Time Warner's second highest internet tier.
I saw somebody asking about the, was it the Smart Boy? That's like is that the thing that your smartphone goes into? And you can, like, it feels like a Game Boy?
Does
that
make
sense? That way, I think I saw somebody asking about it. Is it even out yet? The Hyperkin?
I think it was released. Well, anything by Hyperkin is mostly vaporware anyway for the first 2 years. But I think it was released for Android only because they didn't want to have to deal with unlicensed software for iPhones. But I think it might be released.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of comments saying like, hey, why don't you mention this? Why don't you talk about this thing? Well,
you have to draw the line somewhere. I mean, the video was an hour long. What do you expect? I mean, I think
if we talked about everything, the video would still not be out for one thing. Over an hour long.
I think that's a danger. That's a danger of doing such a comprehensive episode, is that people will be disappointed that you missed even one thing.
Right. We were talking about how a lot of people were really sad that you didn't say anything about PSP emulation. But then, I mean, and you said, well, what about, you know, once you open up the door for like all that like emulation on the PSP, like what people will be saying, like, what about this next thing? And then this next thing after that. And where do you stop?
Right. Yeah, and you know, once you dive into emulation, that's a can of worms that you open up right there.
And we always feel like we have to give it a little acknowledgement, but we don't want to go crazy in depth because it's not our area of expertise.
Right.
And so we like to acknowledge it because we all, you know, if anything, to just put off questions of like, you know, you guys know emulation exists, right? Like, you know, like, I don't understand why anyone would go through all this trouble. Emulation is just the best, obviously, you know. So we always want to give it its acknowledgement. It's but we just don't want to go crazy in depth because it's not what we know.
And I mean, I think that, you know, using like real hardware is more interesting to talk about too.
Yeah, it's more interesting in my opinion, and it's also just a completely different animal, right? Because one of the things we try to concentrate on is using original cartridges and original, you know, controllers and stuff on this. So to do anything else, I mean, I guess the Retron 5 is worth mentioning. I still hate that thing though. Just the, you know, everything from, I love how you put it very politically in the video though. You know, you expressed your feelings for it in a way that no one would get super pissed at. So,
if we don't have some acknowledgement of that, then there's, you know, some people are always going through a fit if we don't at least acknowledge that aspect. I mean, I was kind of like, oh, this is taking up time. Let's just move on. But, you know, it's like, okay, I sort of saw it as a seg into the PC section because then we're kind of talking about some of the RetroArch stuff. So that was kind of how I used it. But I did notice when I was on Hyperkin's website, I think I was checking if there was any firmware updates that did anything beyond what I already had installed that was worth installing. And I did see they have a link now that has like the full breakdown of what they used, and my understanding is that I thought that they weren't allowed to use it for commercial purposes at all, but someone, I can't remember who, someone said something like, well, the issue really was, you can use it for commercial purposes, but you have to disclose what you did and what you changed and release all of your source material or whatever, I guess. I don't know. That's just what someone said. But anyway, point is, they do have that on their website, if that does anything for you.
Yeah. So what are we going to be doing tonight? Like, well, you're using another second camera. You have kind of something
Let me throw that full screen there.
Your video output is still low, but I wonder if it's like this server.
It's just the backup server. Something about me and YouTube streams. This does not happen doing the backloggery streams to Twitch. So
I wonder if it'd be fixed if we use the regular OBS Studio. OBS Studio
for backloggery, yes, but I don't think that'll make a difference. Yeah. I've just never set up the Imlig stuff in that because I don't. I'm not
using the usual streamer. Create an overlay.
Yeah, we've been meaning to set that up. So Bob was saying that this was actually his childhood Game Boy that he got modded with a backlight and buy version.
Yep, that was So that was one of the few things I didn't sell over the years, and I think it's because technically it was my little brother's. Because I think when we decided we wanted it, all I had was $20, and he had $80 saved up, and it was $100. So we called it his, but I got to play it. So I never sold it because it was technically his. And then once he saw all the work I was doing on the website, he sent me that, his original N64, and a ton of other stuff too. So I was able to do a lot of the mods just because of my brother giving me back all our old stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, I have to admit, like, as I was doing the episode, I started being really impressed by this. Like, I just think it looks kind of awesome.
You want to get it done on yours now?
I don't think I want to get it done on mine, but I would be interested in maybe buying one with a backlight mod.
Yeah.
Would you get blue light when I tried that?
I would be curious to see what green looks like, but I feel like this blue looks really nice. What's different about this compared to the Game Boy Pocket? Now, was this a pre-mod Game Boy Pocket, or...?
No, everything I had sent out to a place Thursday Customs. And I'm not sure if he even still does it anymore. He was doing the kits for it. But the one thing that I noticed without a doubt on all of these light mods was that when I first tried them, I hated all of them. It was too bright. It was too weird. So I sent them all back, and I paid for it. I wasn't a dick about it or anything. But I had him install a little. You can kind of see on the back, there's a little brightness dial somewhere. It's flat and kind of molded in really nicely.
Right. I never showed it on the video, but there it is.
Yeah, that's the one thing I highly recommend if anybody does it, get the brightness control, because it just it made my life so much easier depending how bright the room was, and then you adjust the brightness versus the contrast, and once I did that, I mean, I loved them both. I think the Game Boy Pocket looks better, but there's just something about playing that original Game Boy, you know, the big, fat original one.
Yeah, I don't
such
know.
An awesome look.
See, I think I like the original... the way it looks on the original better. Like, it's like if you look at the title screens here, you know, the fat Game Boy is, you've almost got this white, like, for the whites is like actually almost becomes white. They've got this deep blue for the blacks, and it just looks kind of really cool, whereas it's less contrasty on the Pocket. I don't know. Like, you know, a lot of people say that, oh, you know, the Game Boy Pocket has much less ghosting. And let's be real. It's not much less. It really isn't. Something about how it looks on the brick, you know, like, I just don't really see a lot of advantages to the Pocket version myself. I like how this looks a lot. I was shocked too when I did those side-by-side comparisons with the Game Boy Light. Now, this is not Bob's Game Boy Light. He sent one, but...
And it sucked.
Yeah, it doesn't really work. Here's the GB Boy color. I'm going to take some batteries out of it. I was just shocked comparing the when I did the comparisons for the side by side with the Game Boy Light, like it looks pretty good, like just on its own. But then when you compare them, like I had to turn out the lights so that you could really even tell that the light on the Game Boy Light was on. So you see, it's kind of this greenish look. And it's just, it's a lot.
You're using Eneloops.
Yeah. You know, I think
They're the batteries they have, I think.
I think I gave Bob 2 AA Eneloops when I sent your OSSC back. I think I left some batteries in the...
No, they were just regular, actually. Because I always take the batteries out of things now when I send them just so nothing happens. And yeah. When you send it back with batteries, I'm like, oh, I stole Mark's batteries.
Yeah, I... But I'm missing 2 AAAs of the Eneloops. I don't know what happened to them, so I assumed I must have sent them to you on accident. I don't know. But yeah, you can see how much duller maybe duller is another word, just not as bright. But if you like look at it on its own, like by itself, I think the Game Boy Light like actually looks really good. Like, you know... Especially, I mean, even just seeing right here, like, just looking at it up close, it's, I don't know, I think it's pretty okay. But I still, yeah. Between the three of these, I definitely like this original brick style backlight the best. I guess Bob, you say that you think it looks better on the pocket.
I think my favorite's still the brick. I think overall, all the people I showed those to, you know, as long as you got the brightness and the contrast correctly, they liked the biverted light on the pocket. Mm-hmm. But my Game Boy Light doesn't really work that well at all, actually. As you've seen, I mean, yeah. Can you hold up the other Game Boy Light like in focus to the camera? Because
I left it upstairs.
Oh, all right. No, I mean, don't you have a Game Boy Light there?
Oh, this one. Yeah. What about
the good one. Because I've never actually, like, how would you compare it to some of the other backlit ones? Could you see the screen as well, or is it...
I think
the brick looks the best.
Yeah.
Based on what we're seeing here.
Yeah, I think it looks great. I think the Game Boy Light actually looks pretty good, but the mods are better.
Huh. All right.
You know, if you wanted to get it done, I bet you could talk to... I bet you... You know, Jonathan Chapman, I'm sure he has plenty of them.
He told me that some, like, bi version is good on some colors and not on other colors.
Really?
Yeah, so I don't really understand what the details on that are. But, like, regardless, I think the result on Bob's brick here is, like, kind of amazing. So, how much did you pay for the mod?
Oh, I don't remember. It was a lot, though. He charged a lot, and he had them for, like, 7 months or something like that.
Really? Wow.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm happy with them. They came out great and everything. And he was honest about how he was busy and wouldn't get around to it for a while, but I was under the impression it would be a month or two, not 6 or 7. So.
By the way, this Rockman World 5, this is what is localized as Mega Man 5, which is, you know, the Mega Man Game Boy games don't really have a great reputation because they're kind of just rehashes of, and by the way, I'm looking at OBS when I'm trying to play this, so but this is actually a great game. I got it at Too Many Games this year for like $30 or something, and the American version is well over 100, if not 200. So this is a great game because this one is actually a completely original Mega Man game, and it's got a lot of differences. Like when you charge, he actually shoots his fist.
Really?
Yeah, and it like boomerangs back to you. And like the weapons that you get from bosses and stuff, like just kind of have a different different sort of feel to them than the NES games. It's just a different game. And I can't play looking at OBS. But anyway,
I think he just died.
Yeah. I think this is great. Like, I am the kind of person who, you know, like I said, I originally saw this episode as being just about how to play on TV, because that is traditionally how I, you know, if I have a choice of playing on a handheld or playing on my TV, I like to play on my TV. So I didn't expect to be as taken by some of these mods as I was, but I could legit see myself using this mod if I get one for myself. So I really like it. Let me grab something else off the other table.
When are you going to ship all this stuff back? Because, I mean, you have different stuff from, a lot of people.
The majority of what I have is this, all this stuff from Bob. So I'm looking forward to getting rid of it soon. I'm sure Bob is looking forward to getting it back, so I'd like to... If I can manage it, I'd like to get shipped off this week.
send my Game Boy Light directly to Voltar. I'll see if he could fix it.
I wasn't even sure what game I had in here. Actually, you know, it looks like I'm looking up at OBS and it looks way brighter up there than I've just got this camera kind of set for a higher exposure, I guess. It looks way brighter on the stream than it actually is in person. But yeah, this is the
the AGS 101 screen.
Now, I didn't realize when you sent it to me, and I don't know if you know the details of how this mod was done, but I didn't know until past couple of weeks that. There's like replacement screens that you can get from like Chinese overstock websites.
Then they're just as good. Are they just?
I mean, new, I think they're the real thing, right?
New old stock.
New old stock, as they call it.
I think that's so. I mean, I want to get mine.
So what that one was? I had originally bought one off of eBay that had the mod done, and as soon as I turned it on, I knew immediately it was an aftermarket screen. I didn't even need to play a game. I didn't need to do side-by-side. It almost looked like the pixels were bigger. It was just... It's hard to describe. It was weird. So I emailed the guy, and, you know, he was pretty cool about it, but I said, you got to put in your auctions. You know, it's not original. So I talked to somebody else who was making a couple, and he said he made four of them. He had, he'd been collecting broken AGS 101s, and then taking the screens out and adding them into these. So that was actually one out of an AGS 101.
Ah, okay.
But if people online claim to have gotten new old stock, I think they're kind of full of shit, though. I don't think that exists. So
people have been saying it, though. I found a lot of talk on forums. I found the links to, you know, by, what is it called, Alibaba or whatever. So I don't know. I mean, maybe that's not entirely true, but... you could definitely see, though, in the comparison I did direct next to the 101, that it's literally the same screen.
That's cool. I mean, I want to get it done. I have that exact Game Boy Advance. I just got it at Goodwill for $8 a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, I want to get an AGS 101 screen in this, because that's like, it's my preferred form factor. I think it's most people's preferred form factor for
Game Boy Advance. I don't know. I mean, I never really thought about it back in the day because, like, I mean, once you had the SP, there was just no contest. Obviously, you're going to use the SP because it's got light, and, you know, this is such a hassle to use normally. But once I... in the years after this was no longer the current generation handheld, you know, when I would like go back and try to play something on the GameCube, like Four Swords and Crystal Chronicles, I was like, oh man, it's like so much more comfortable to play this for a long session with my original model GBA than the SP, because the SP, like, especially the R and L buttons for me, like, are just very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Who is that? Is rubbing against the microphone? I mean, it's got to be you, right?
Me?
Yeah, I'm just using one of these things. So.
I'm not rubbing against the microphone.
Oh.
Or maybe when I was typing or something, my arm hit it.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, so that Game Boy Advance right there, the Game Boy Pocket, and a couple others, my buddy Justin got me, the Goodwill Hunter, who just apparently just logged in here. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that goes to all those thrift stores and stuff and finds the good deals. So if I remember correctly, he got me that Game Boy Advance for like $6 or something.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he always finds deals. I think he's the one that's able to... the reason I was able to fund the original year of the site was because he was finding me stuff for a fraction of the price of, you know, eBay. So,
wow. So
you'd just turn it, you'd sell it, or pretty much, or just me? because you got stuff for cheap and you were able to.
Oh, because I couldn't afford to pay full price for everything. So because
right.
So cheap was how I was able to pay for everything and to do all the mods.
Yeah.
So I have in here. I have a game that I actually got just toward the end of production, and the cartridge is hidden somewhere in the episode, if you want to find it, but I did not have an opportunity to actually use it in the episode, because I'd already done everything where, you know, a Game Boy Color cart would have been useful. But this is the GB Boy Color.
That's probably my favorite part of the episode. It's whoever that makes it, they claim the screen is much more better.
Yeah. Kongfing Industries.
I love those.
Who is it?
Kongfing Industries. It's actually...
Yeah, but Voltar just texted me. He's getting the correct link, because he sent one and it was the link to that one. So he's finding the correct link. So I'm not hoarding it for myself.
So this one actually, like, I can't tell if this is just like how it's molded or if there's like actually a chip out of this, but like... Like, around where the volume dial is, there's like a chip. Like, you can almost see, like, right through the system, because there's, like, a lot of hollow stuff in there. And also, sort of an interesting thing is that the you know, it's got, like, the infrared thing that's in the body of the Game Boy Color, but there's like no technology underneath it. Like, it's that is nothing. So, oh, and there's also
it's just there for to pretend like it's
thing. It's weird because this is like not exactly a Game Boy Color body. Like, it's slightly different. So I don't understand why that happened.
You know, a lot of times when these companies reverse engineer stuff, they genuinely don't know why. Because I dealt with that when the company I worked for that made the medical computers, and if Goodwill Hunter's still on, he'll probably remember this, but when we got bought out by another company, because Justin actually used to work with me, we went in one time and we found a competitor's product, and I ended up meeting them in person a few years later, and I was like, hey, you know, they were kind of nervous to meet me because I know they knew I was the guy, they reverse engineered our stuff, and I was just kind of laughing with them, like, hey, you know, it's fine, you know, I get it, but what did you do with this thing on the front? Why did you put that on there? And they all turned red. They're like, we didn't know what it was there for, so we just put it in to match the look of yours. So that's probably why it was there. They just saw something that looked similar, and that was that.
I'm guessing this is the erase thing.
And you're pretty impressed with this.
I mean, here's like, I I'm right now, I'm playing a game that I haven't really played yet. So it's
this,
like,
isn't the really rare one, is it?
Yes. This is like the only Game Boy Goemon I wanted. And I like, it's like not necessarily, it's pretty expensive to get it complete, but like I've only seen like I've only seen like an auction for it like three times.
I didn't realize you had gotten it because you said that you missed one for really cheap.
I missed one, and then I looked not that long ago and just happened to see another. I could have had for like $17. This one was like $35. But still, like, that was definitely like worth taking for a game that just literally never comes up on auction. I mean, our buddy Jimmy Hoppe, he's a big Goemon fan too. Mm-hmm. And he said that he lives in Japan and he has never seen it. And this get like from the little playtesting I've done, like it seems like really good. Like it looks like the quality of the graphics are almost like early Super Nintendo. Like it's probably not really coming across in the stream, but it's like it's got like a lot of color. It's just like a good looking game. Plays great too. So I'm pretty excited to actually get into this.
To be honest, I'm normally not even interested if it's not original hardware, but I found that GB Boy Color, I thought it was comfortable. A lot of people complained about the buttons. I thought they were fine. I mean, I guess I would have preferred original Game Boy feel buttons, but they're fine. It was really just the aspect ratio that got to me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, other than that, but the one thing that I'll always mention, because a lot of people ask me about this, especially over on the Crix forums, because that works with the EverDrive as well. For the price, if you're really into Game Boy, you might want to just buy one and keep it and carry it with you. So if you're, you know, if you live in a city or on the subways or anything, why not let that get broken instead of an original Game Boy, you know? So buy it, beat up on it, use it, and then, you know, if we ever find a better one, then get a different aftermarket. But my cousin Scott, when I got him the, you know, he had an AGS 101, and then we both liked the original Game Boy Advance better. So when I got him one of the ones with the backlit screens in it, you know, he made a comment one day like, "Oh, I love this thing, man. You know, every day on the subway, it's so much easier to play." I'm like, "Every day on the subway? Do you know how rare that fucking thing is? Don't bring it on the subway. Bring the AGS 101 on the subway."
I see some people talking in the chat about, so GameTech US had 40 HDMI, Ultra HDMI mods available and sold out in 10 minutes,
I guess. Wow. So there was a new stock recently.
Just today, apparently.
Wow. I mean, you know, it's at least good to hear that. You know, I haven't actually been too sure if like he's been making more of them.
Yeah.
I heard through the grapevine, through people that talked to him, that you know, he was just having manufacturing issues because a lot of these things are kind of complicated to manufacture. Mm-hmm. And if you know, like the guys from HD Retrovision, they built special things so that you could really test the, you know, the chips and their cables coming down the assembly line. And unless you build a stringent tool like that, they usually just slap them together and ship them out and let you deal with it. So I think that's what he and a lot of the other guys that make the more complicated boards are dealing with now. But I think once they're back, you know, once somebody manufactures them the right way, there'll be a better stock of them going forward. But
mm-hmm. It's just crazy. I mean, that like the demand is so high right now still.
Well, it's never going to go away because one of the things Marshall did was he has that one mode in it where it basically just outputs like, you know, raw signal. And by having that mode, even if, you know, 10 years from now when we, you know, when you get your 8K TV and the new 8K version of the FrameMeister is out, you could, this mod is still 100% relevant because now you have digital to digital putting out the original resolution. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure another internal one that scales itself and renders in, you know, 8K, 10K would be better, but this one will never go, you know, this will never go extinct, you know?
Really?
Right.
I didn't realize that.
I do need to get it done. Speaking of that, speaking of, like, the FrameMeister, I mean, a lot of people have been asking already, you know, like, commenting on stuff about, like, the FrameMeister going out of production. And it's still a ways off. I think people are prematurely panicking. I mean, even Microsoft said that they would have enough stock to last for 2017. So, I mean, I think it's going to be totally fine to get from, like, Solaris for a retail price for, like, mm-hmm. for the next year. And then who knows what happens after that? Well, hopefully they will have a new version.
Now, one thing on the GB Boy is it's got extremely particularly in the vertical, has got extremely poor viewing angle. But, I mean, you know, it doesn't really matter that much for a handheld.
But is the viewing angle worse than an unmodded original Game Boy? Or worse, a Game Gear?
Yeah, I mean, definitely nothing is worse than the viewing angle on Game Gear. But, man, this game seems, like, really good. I want to keep playing it, but I'm not gonna.
You got to finish. You should make it a priority because you're going to go over 100 unbeaten games pretty soon if you don't finish something.
Yeah. Well, here now, Bob, just so you know, this battery compartment has always been pretty loose on this from when I got, so it was definitely not my fault.
Oh, don't worry about that.
So I don't know how well, if at all, this is going to show up on the camera. But oh wow, that actually shows up much better on the camera than it does in person.
Much more better.
Much, yeah.
Much more better.
on this system, I really have to mash the start button.
Yeah. Hey, Chuck, yes, the audio I found was off on the Game Boy, GB Boy Color. Not so bad that it annoyed me, but it was a noticeable difference. It wasn't, like, tinny, it was almost like a different pitch. Maybe it was running at a slightly different speed or something. But, yeah, that's a good question. You guys kind of covered that a little bit in the episode, but I think that seems to bother some people more than others.
Oh, the audio?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because I learned, I probably should have known this beforehand, but when we were recording and mixing the album last year, I kept hearing all this stuff, and everybody in the room thought I was crazy. They thought I was just being picky. And after, you know, we finally get everything solved, and after the album was released, it wasn't until months later when one of my friends was like, here, check this audio test. And apparently I have a really high range of frequency hearing.
That's good. That's really good. I mean...
Yeah, we had somebody... kind of weird because the guy producing the album didn't, which is a little freaking scary, by the way. But you know.
It's funny. There's a guy who heard like some high pitched sound in the end of our intro, and it was like something I did not hear at all. Neither one of us could hear it.
Yeah, but you
and he took like the original audio and fixed it for us.
Yeah, there have been some there have been a few instances though of where I've heard things in your audio that you couldn't hear,
right?
And there have been some times where like
I'm getting old. What can I say?
Yeah. I mean, every year you lose like you know a little bit of that higher range, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the thing they said. The younger you are, the better hearing you have. And that's without a doubt. But some people, you know, like obviously the drummer in the band, you know, the sitting behind a drum kit for all those years lost a whole large range of hearing. But, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of funny to see. I had a bunch of my friends take the test, too. And one of my friends, a tennis player, could hear a higher range than me. So it's kind of cool to see.
I should take the test. I should see.
Yeah, there was like, I think like when you had your CRT on in the background on one of them.
You pick up.
There was something I heard, and you said I cannot hear that.
Yeah, I mean it's a problem. But I mean I can't.
What I do is in my audio, like I've got an audio preset for myself, and I just. I always put
like a low pass filter
just
on.
A low, like I adjusted the low pass up to the point where it no longer like it doesn't sound like there's nothing that I want to keep being lost.
Right. I should probably do that.
So I just
one of those. I mean I have I the low on, pass filter set
whenever you
on
give
my
me your
Zoom,
audio, I put it on yours too. Like so that basically just ensures that it you know that there's if I put it up to the point where like it sounds like all the sound that I want to hear is there, then I figure that's fine. So this like Game Boy Color mod, like I'm looking at it up on OBS instead of, so it's a little laggy, but I'm doing okay-ish. but I'm looking up at OBS, like that, it looks better on camera than it does in person in this case. I am not particularly impressed with this mod. I don't know about Bob's opinion.
Nope, I don't like it.
yeah, there's like, if you, I don't know if you'll really be able to see it that well. Like, you can see it to some extent on the stream as I like move this up and down. There's like a lot of like refraction issues. Like, you see just like these lines like through the screen. Like, you can kind of see that a little bit with the original Model SP, but not a lot. Yeah, this mod is not one I would personally go for. So, yeah, I don't know about that, but, you know.
Yeah.
Something that I really discovered when I was doing the research for this episode is... mine are over on the shelf and I don't feel like getting them. The screen itself on the Game Boy Color, like, is really, really good. I got a newfound appreciation for the Game Boy Color screen, because it's very light. Like, I mean, if you have the light hitting it in the right way, like, the colors just look really good. Whereas on the GBA, the original GBA, it's so much darker. Like, that you can play the same, you know, Game Boy Color game on each one, and it just looks so much darker on the GBA. And I didn't really realize, like, I remembered people, like, back in the day, like, people were like, oh, the GBA is so dark, and it didn't, you know, when I first got mine, that didn't really occur to me, because, I got it on launch day. I didn't really understand what they were talking about. I just thought they were talking about the fact that, you know, hey, it doesn't have a lit screen, and, you know, isn't it about overdue for that? but, yeah, it really is. If you put the Game Boy Color and the GBA side by side, the colors are just so much brighter. They just really stand out much more on the Game Boy Color. And the fact that it has no ghosting, you know, I remember I was putting together a box of stuff to sell, to trade in at Funko Land to buy a PlayStation 1. When I was finally getting ready to dip my toe into the wide world of not Nintendo systems. And I want to say probably only like three to five, I would guess between 3 to 5 months after the Game Boy Color came out. And I pulled my Game Boy Pocket out of a drawer, you know, to trade it in to help cover the costs, and I turned it on and I just could not believe how much blur there was. I thought, is something wrong with it? Like this can't be right. And I just, like, in those few months just got so used to the total, almost total you can't see it, I don't think, the any ghosting. It's like almost a perfect LCD. Like, it's the Game Boy Color LCD for an unlit screen is actually like super high quality. It's kind of crazy.
Isn't it amazing after an hour long video, you'd still have like so much to say about Game Boys?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, and we're kind of just discussing things. So now here's my micro, which I have hardly used. I mean, I used it, like, I bought this like back when it was still kind of affordable. I think this particular model is kind of expensive now, but when I saw this, like, oh, I want that. And I had like every other Game Boy. Like, I had a model of every other Game Boy. I didn't have a Game Boy Pocket at the time because I had traded it in, but I since had my cousin's old brick You know, I didn't have my original anymore, but I had owned one of everything except for this, and I saw this, I'm like, oh, I need that, that looks so cool. And I think it's really expensive now, but it was affordable back then. I've hardly used it. I just, you know, kind of just have it more as a collection piece. Came in a really cool looking Famicom. I think it was like Famicom 20th anniversary or something like that. Mm-hmm. Really cool box. Maybe it was 30th. I don't know what anniversary it was. I still have one.
I loved my Micro. I played it a bunch when I was like kind of like out of games for a while, because I liked it, because I could stick it like right in my little change pocket in my jeans. That's when I play Mario 3, like the Mario Advance. Is it Mario Advance 3 or is it 4 that is Mario 3? Mario Advance 4.
Mario Advance 4 Super is Mario, Mario 3, yeah.
Okay. Always messes with my head.
I did not know about the brightness thing.
Really?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'd hardly used it. I didn't know about it until I was doing some research. I turned it down to the level that matches the stream. I'm not very good at this one, so I'm going to play 100cc. For some reason, I was always like, I like how Peach controls in this one.
I need to get this one.
It's okay.
I'm not a huge Mario fan, so
I like it. Like in recent times when I've played it, I like it a lot more than I thought I remembered liking it.
Don't a lot of people consider it like the worst one?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways I kind of do, but it's.
I've heard a lot of people say it's their favorite. A lot of guys with big hands too, not like, you know. I mean, not to sound weird, but not small people. I mean, big dudes like me, I sometimes have a hard time holding these little things, but a couple of people said they find it very comfortable.
Oh, the
they're
Micro.
Expensive, though. They're going for, like, at least 75 on eBay, it looks like.
Really? Wow. Wasn't there, like, an NES model? Now, I think they also sold, like, a lot of, like, face plates and stuff for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to adjust my hands to a place where I can hold it comfortably and keep it in the frame, because this game is actually Mario Kart games are always like the marker of whether a controller is comfortable for me, because they use R and L so heavily, or at least a lot of them do. Whoops.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not a comfortable way to attempt to play a Mario Kart that I'm not good at.
I see we have Jake F from in the chat, who's from the Missouri Game Con, and we were just invited as guests.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
We will be there. Yeah, in
August, right?
I think it's August 12th and 13th. I think it is.
I'm definitely excited.
I think it's August 12th and 13th. I mean, it's still. It's still like a long ways away, but yeah, we'll be going to that. That's pretty cool. Sorry, it's our second con invite ever.
Yeah.
We will also be going to MAGFest in less than a month,
which doesn't seem real at all. Like it doesn't feel like it's really come. I don't think we've got a panel.
I know we haven't heard anything about a panel. We were supposed to do a panel. Steve and Nick from HD Retrovision and us
submitted
for a panel, but we didn't hear anything. Hmm. I don't know if anybody has heard anything yet.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're going like anyways. We'll be like panelists as part of
RetroWare. Yeah.
Bob, is there any way that you could make it down for it? I know that you almost went last year.
I probably could, to be honest with you. I was asked to. Somebody emailed me about a PAX, and then never got back to me. I think I'll be on a panel in Montreal in May, I believe, wow. with Renee from DB Electronics, and
of course, awesome.
I'm dragging Scott with me as well, just because. but yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I can make it.
I mean, it's January 4th, I think. Is that like the first day is January 4th? I get there on Wednesday and it starts on Thursday.
Hmm, and I'm there.
Doesn't Nick from HD Retrovision live right by there or something?
Yeah, he's like 40 minutes away.
Yeah, not right by there, but close enough.
Yeah, but you should come down, and it'd be cool to have everybody hang out.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and it would be cool. Like, I mean, especially if we end up getting this panel, and you could do the panel with us too.
Yeah, I want to say, was it MAGFest or Too Many Games that had like an error with like their panel notification?
It was Too Many Games where we didn't receive anything until we saw the official schedule.
I mean,
and you were on it.
Yeah,
we've both been claimed badges as panelists because of Retroware. So I don't know. I feel like we are not going to have a panel because we should have. I suspect we would have been notified. At the same time,
as panelists through that.
Yeah.
You never know, though. I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say for sure we don't have a panel, but I feel like we do not.
I mean, I could see when we got approved for one last year. You want me to see? I can check to see when we heard from them last year.
MAGFest was like 2 months later.
That's true.
Who submitted for the panel last year? Was it you or me?
Yeah, it was me. Hang on. I mean, it looks here like we might not have. It says,
I want to say it was a lot more.
January 14th is when we heard about it.
And that was like just over a month before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we're not gonna have one this time.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. If not, we'll do the Retroware panel and we'll just hang out the rest of the time.
Are we have we confirmed for the Mega Manathon?
We're definitely doing it. I don't know
what game yet.
Yeah.
I'm willing to do a few practice runs of three.
Yeah, I know. I really would like to do three. Hopefully it's still available. In terms of my next RGB episode, man, like I want geometry to happen, but if it seems like we want to like work with like professionals on it, and I know that Voltar does work with CRTs, and I'm going to go down there and he's going to let me shoot some stuff with him. But we also want to get like some CRT repair technicians to work with us on it. And we've had potential leads. Interest from a lot of people. Yeah. Potential leads that have not come together yet, but I know like I get caught like questions about it all the time. And, I'm just going to eventually have to do it, depending on what happens. But next system is definitely going to be Saturn. We've been Nintendo only for pretty much longer than we anticipated.
Well, really, though, I mean,
we did. PS1 was in January.
Yeah.
So I just mean, GameCube really and Game Boy.
Two, but then there's been like certain things, I guess, like the AVS was like the Nintendo,
Yeah, and the Classic Edition.
But, whatever.
But Saturn is definitely happening.
What about Game Gear?
That's right. I need to do Game Gear as well because I have Bob's Game Gear.
You have three or four?
I have like three or four of them.
I've got Bob's Neo Geo Pocket, and I think a Neo Geo Pocket Color. I don't know what to do with them. I don't know what to do.
So you have a Neo Geo Pocket Original that was only released in Japan in black and white. Oh, then you have a Neo Geo Pocket Color that was front lit. So you just got to get a stock, Neo Geo Pocket Color. So
Neo Geo Pocket Color was the only one that was released here. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you should, if you guys ever want a quick video to do, there's only, only two models and a mod, and I don't know, I think I know of one person that has that video output for it. I think, what is it, the... I forgot what it's called, but it's basically like the dev kit, so it'll output RGB. So if you can get one of those, that would be a pretty short episode, but...
Yeah,
I mean, I just don't hardly know what to do with it. I mean, you know, and there's nothing wrong with doing a short episode now and then.
Yeah.
No, especially after this, you guys have proved your worth. You do a 5-minute episode and we still all love it.
So. Well, I think next year you're going to see some, like, shorter episodes and probably more often shorter episodes. We have some shorter ones that we want to do. Hopefully people won't be disappointed by shorter episodes at this point because...
You know, I keep saying that the nice thing for me is that everything's going to seem easy after this.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true.
So here's the reverb. Bob, have you seen one of these before?
No, I haven't actually.
It's got, you know, I tried to minimize it on in my shots as best I can. There is a not so great screen protector on here. And
I couldn't even tell in the video at all.
There's a number of bubbles in it, and Chuck Grody, who
is in the chat right now.
Oh, great! Let me borrow it. He said, by the way, if you want to take the screen protector off, it kind of bugs my OCD, so feel free. So I tried to take it off, trying to peel at the edge, trying to use some tape to pull it back, and it would not give. I could have maybe tried something a little more extreme, but I was afraid that, you know, like, what if it's, like, stuck to the screen real good? Like, I've taken off screen protectors that left a residue on the screen, so I was scared that if I tried too hard, I would ruin the screen, and, you know, that would be bad. So I left it on there, and I tried my best to not let that happen. There is a brightness button on the top that I did not show. What's interesting is that the darkest, like, turns the screen off. For whatever reason, the first thing I, you know, there's this, you know, key card, flash card. Someone in the comments said the key card is crap. And you should not use it. And then apparently, like, most of the settings have, like, button combinations that you can do, which I was not aware of. As I've said before, I'm a big Rare fan, and I've been going through the Rare games that they made after Microsoft bought them. And someday I might do the Game Boy Advance games, which I skipped over those too, even though I had access to them. I've never really been too sure what to think of them, but since I had this flash cart in the system, I booted up Banjo-Kazooie Grunty's Revenge, which I want to say I remembered, like, getting okay reviews, but... you know, I never really heard anyone say anything about it later. So I was always like, I wonder if it's any good. But, you know, it actually seemed like I played, you know, probably 15 minutes or, well, it shows right there, 10 minutes. It seems really good. It's Banjo is, like, by himself, at least for now. I don't know if you get Kazooie later. But, like, he like, smashes monsters with his backpack, and it kind of feels like Zelda. Like, kind of, like, feels like... It kind of feels like using your sword in Zelda. And, like, the perspective is actually, like, a lot better than I expected.
So you're going to buy it.
I expect it. I mean, it's like a $9 game.
Really?
Yeah, it's really cheap. I mean, I've seen it, you know, several times. But I'm going to get it sometime. It seems really good.
It does look pretty good. I'm surprised, you know, it's like small on the screen.
Well, that's
so. Does the Revo play, like, other things too?
That's
to emulate other systems.
The reason it's small is because I set the aspect ratio that way.
Oh, okay.
Because the other aspect ratios do not match Like, this is a 4x3 screen, but the Game Boy Advance is 3x2. So if it fills the screen, it's too skinny. And you can do the other where it just makes adds some letterboxing, but it you know, the scaling isn't, you know, quite what it should be.
Mm-hmm. It's cool. I mean, we almost bought one.
Yeah, we kept forgetting that it exists. We're like, oh, and you're like, oh, I kind of want to get one of those. Then you're like, you know what? I'm not actually going to use that if I like bought it. So we were kind of like, that's like.
Maybe we can borrow one and be much more worth it.
I think we sort of put it out there, and we're really lucky that Chuck Grody responded to that, because he happened to have not only a Game Boy Light, and you know Bob's didn't work quite right, but he also had the Game Boy Light in the box. So I was able to show the box and the Game Boy Light, and so that proved to be truly invaluable. So. We on the special thanks, like, there's not like really a particular order to it, but I tried to make I think some on the second row are people that we borrowed things from, but the first row on special thanks is mostly like people who let us borrow stuff.
Yeah. It's cool. I mean, we're very, very fortunate to be in a position where people are open to letting us borrow stuff and use it for the show.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, it's for me at least. It's you know, I always like to help, but it's also kind of fun to see my stuff on TV.
So Bob, tell me a little bit about this doohickey, Super Retro Advance Adapter.
So that thing is all that does is just use the controller and the power from the SNES.
Right.
Sorry, I'm seeing the broadcast. We were still on the Revo, but to be honest, I bought it because so many people emailed me about it. So many people were like, "Well, you should try it. You should look into it." And I just assumed I was really, really going to hate it, and you know, I didn't at all. You just want a very cheap, basic way, you know, if you like two Game Boy Advance games, there's no reason, you know, and especially if you have a Sony PVM. Composite looks great through those, so compared to on anything else. So, you know, it, for the price, I think I got it for $20 or something.
It's like, fine. I think it was like, when I looked on Amazon, it was like $38. I was surprised. Like, I tested it.
You rewrote your little bit on it.
I did. I rewrote about a third or a half of the segment after I was starting editing it, because, you know, I tested it. I'm like, yeah, it's composite video. And then when I started editing it, I was like, you know what? It's really not that bad. I rewrote it and like was kind of a lot more positive about the aspect ratio is out of whack, but it's like, you know, you can compensate for that one way or another pretty easily. And you know what? I bet if you got a you know, it's just one of those three-pronged not three-pronged. It's one of those headphone style jack cables, but it's got the three rings on it. So a lot of people don't know that, you know, if you're looking at like a headphone jack, it's got two rings on it. That's because it sends left and right channels. If you see one that has one ring, that means that it sends one channel of audio. If you see one that has three rings, you know, those are often used in devices like this, or, you know, some older camcorders and stuff like that for video output, composite video. You know, one ring is for composite video, and then the others are left and right audio channels. And this is just one of those. I bet, like, the one that it comes with is super thin. I don't know if the noise in the signal is an inherent part of just how this works, but it does have some noise. But I bet if you have better shielded cables, it would be a lot cleaner.
Well, there's a few mods out that you could do to that to make the audio better. You can't RGB mod it. I would have sent you an RGB modded one if you could. But
if you could, it'd probably be like the best thing possible.
Well, the aspect ratio is still a little weird.
Right, but you can accommodate that for that in some ways. You know, definitely if you're using a FrameMeister, you can for sure. I mean, I thought, in my opinion, when I set my TV for 16:9 instead of 4:3, even though it's fatter than it should be, I found that more palatable than skinnier than it should be. But that was just me.
But I don't know. I just these days I have so few time to actually sit down and really play games. Like I loved testing the Super Retro Advance. Uh-huh. I thought it was really neat. Uh-huh. But I wouldn't, if I was going to sit down and play Zero Mission at this point, you know, it's going to be, you know, through the Game Boy interface software, yeah, either on a BVM or, you know, through an upscaler on a flat screen.
Yeah. I'm gonna set this stuff.
You're gonna play it.
Set this stuff aside, and I'll play a little Mario 3 on this thing.
Nice hair. It's like you see right
here. Huh?
We're getting a close up in the shot of like directly on where you're slightly losing your hair in the back of your head.
Did you see Mellow Gaming's post? Tri's hair seems to be in composite.
So you have like a different setup.
Oh,
so
wait, what? I yeah, I actually, but you know, it's funny because I'm like, oh, I'm using the Super Nintendo, and I set the FrameMeister for RGB.
Yeah.
That's just what I think, you know.
Yep.
There it comes. Oops, I've got scan lines on.
Oh, you're using those for the background.
I was using those for backgrounds, yeah. I don't know if you noticed, but I used for the Super Nintendo and GameCube sections, I used scan lines.
Right.
But for other parts, I did not. Oh, here, let me. The sound does not sound super great.
Yeah. Well. That's fine. I mean, really, yeah. I mean, how much was this device when it came out? I know that it's not made anymore, because actually, we just had a line of communications open with RetroBit. And I said, you know, we were doing a Game Boy episode, and they said, oh, if we still made the Retro Advance things, we'd send you one for the show. I'm like, oh, we already are already featuring one, so it's all right. Apparently, yeah, we might be doing a video on that. The generations, the retro bit generations.
Was that what I heard? Maybe some not super great things about. Or
yeah.
Was that something else?
No, that's the one that there hasn't been. But I mean, I'm interested to see. You know, we'll compare it. We'll try to do something different than like what a lot of people have done with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, We felt bad about being a little late to the NES Mini, and you know it was fine.
Yeah,
you weren't exactly late though.
No,
we were like a week late.
We felt like we were late because
early units.
Yeah,
it would have been cool to have that video out before it was even released. It would have been cool, like if we had that opportunity.
Yeah,
but I mean. We've tried contacting Nintendo so that hopefully it won't happen again, but I don't know if
if
they're gonna, like, maybe if they watch that video and be like, we're not gonna send these guys. they're gonna pick it apart like this.
Yeah, I had a couple of years ago. Somebody ordered one of the amp boards from, in the address was the Nintendo headquarters. Oh, and really? I emailed them back and I said, hey, look, I don't really know how to say this, so I'm just going to say it. You guys have a reputation for suing everybody. So is this for you or is this for Nintendo? Because I'm just not going to send it to you. And the guys, you know, a bunch of ha ha ha's, and the reply is, no, it's for me. It's just easier to get it at work. Like, all right, cool.
Charlie, you know so much about this game. I didn't even know that was there. So
wait, you didn't know where the warp whistle was?
I know where the first one is, but
that was the first after one. That,
I always think of the one in the castle.
Well, that's the second one. I mean, if you wanted to, you could go to the castle first, but that wouldn't make any sense. There's three. Did you know there's three warp whistles?
Where's the third one?
It's at the end of World 2. If you have a hammer, you can get to it in the upper right of the map. I didn't know that for a long time.
I don't know a ton about this game. I've beaten it, but it's been a long time. I know. I like Mario World more, but. Yeah.
I
do appreciate this game. What?
I definitely do not. I mean, I like Mario World, but it's always, I don't know, something about it's always seemed just a little bit off to me.
Oh. So a lot of people were talking about, oh, you should have shown, you know, the Wii U version of this because it adds in all the card stuff. It's like built into it.
Yeah, like, and that's, you know, that's interesting.
Might be worth getting. It sounds like it'd probably be worth getting.
Yeah, I've got some of the cards.
Stuff like that. Like, you know, a couple of people have said that we should have pointed out the issue with. Where you on a Game Boy Advance SP, you have to have an adapter for the headphone jack, which I wonder if those are like rare these days or expensive. I could see them being.
Oh yeah, I bet you they are.
Because I have one somewhere, but I almost always play handheld games with headphones. But typically when I play handheld games, I'm typically playing current handheld games, you know. Otherwise, you know, the older stuff I'm usually playing on my TV. So I don't even know where it is. I mean, I can't imagine I would have gotten rid of it, but...
So you can easily beat this game without dying, right?
I have not beat it without dying, but I've come close.
I think you almost did it one time on a backlog restart.
Yeah, I did. I'm feeling it's weird. I'm feeling a bit of lag right now, and I'm not sure what's causing it. I don't know if it's. I mean, normally I don't. You know, frame mites or lag does not really normally make an impression. Let me check what
It's funny, you know, when you're talking about the headphone adapter. There's Game Dave in the chat says. What did he say? I scrolled up too far. He said, "If only there was an Ultimate Game Boy SP accessory pack." Because there is a headphone adapter in that.
Oh, is there? Okay, yeah. okay. I accidentally had it on natural instead of picture. I don't know if that makes a lag difference. I feel like it. Wouldn't, but
yeah, it shouldn't.
I actually did one thing I didn't realize because I didn't even think to check this. I didn't realize when I wrote the script on this device for the first time, I didn't realize it was 240p, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, I mean, you almost wouldn't think it would be.
So something I realized while doing my research I realized this in the middle of editing when I made that little diagram about like the Game Boy game trying to do a 2x scale and then fit in a
That's one of my favorite parts of the episode.
it's trying to fit in the TV and it can't fit. And while I did the math, you know, it's 144 times 2, which is 288p, which is what PAL games run at.
Right.
And that like kind of blew my mind that the Game Boy's resolution is like a quarter of PAL resolution. And so that makes you think the PAL Super Game Boy, if they had planned it, like if they had like done the effort on it, could have been a 2x scale without borders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wasn't it the same with the Game Gear resolution too or something?
I don't know what Game Gear resolution is.
I forgot. All this stuff kind of blurs together for a while.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously. And it's like, sometimes it's really hard to call up that information in your head.
Yeah.
Yes, it is for me. I do have to do that Game Gear episode. I've had your Game Gear is almost as long as Trez had the things. It's just that I don't think it's going to be too hard. I do want to get a consoleized Game Gear, though. And I've been talking to somebody while back. Well,
I mean, that's just all looks. Essentially, what I sent you should be able to, you know, accomplish the actual being able to play on a TV. Oh, wait, no, I didn't send you the one with the controller input, did I?
I don't think no.
Because it was actually Voltar that told me how to do it with a Genesis controller. I only know how to do it with an SMS one.
There's a modder that does really cool Game Gear, like consoleized Game Gears. And I talked to him a while back, and he's like, "Oh, if you can get the materials for it, then I can make."
Did he do the ones that actually look like a mini Master System?
That's what he was talking about doing.
Oh, because there was one Japanese guy that has his page up that it looks phenomenal, but it was just he just built it for himself. He's not like
right.
You know, he's not selling.
And it's kind of like a cheap plastic that he made that out of. But the guy I was talking to was like, you know, I can make one if you can find like a dead Master System, system. I can make it from the Master System, like a Master System shell.
Like I came over in Mario 3. What is wrong with me?
Like he'd cut it in half and combine the two halves together.
I think without wasting an SMS, I think if we talked to a few people, there's I know at least two people that have 3D printers. So it's going to be that, you know, that kind of weak plastic, but still, I think, you know, if you could do that, that'd be pretty neat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why I was. Why it hasn't happened yet, because I only want to do it on the system that's like dead, you know, like it's I'm not gonna like do it to a living system for sure. But that was a while ago, like it just
so I got my,
I'm always like looking out for that stuff, but
I got my yet. Super Game Boy off the shelf.
Okay.
I've already demonstrated Super Mario Land with the Hori SGB Commander. Do we have a request for a game to play with the slowdown feature? Something that would have cool sounding music and slow mo.
You know, the Mario Land has great sounding music.
Yeah.
With the slowdown.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I haven't heard World 2.
Yeah, that's what I really want to hear.
Yeah, I haven't heard World 2, so let's do it. You know, it took me 25 minutes to set up that ending shot.
Yeah.
That's all it
took. And you're like, it was totally worth like the 25 minutes to play through the game.
It was.
And it's cool that you're still like good enough at it that you can just like blow through it.
I thought the game was really hard as a kid.
And now you have no problem with it?
Yeah.
Isn't that funny, though? I mean, I think I said it to you when you said, you know, I just went through, I spent another extra 25 minutes to get the last shot. And once you're kind of spent all this time on the episode, you might as well just put in that little bit of extra time just to get what you want out of it.
Yeah.
To get that shot that you want. Because you always wish that you did. If you didn't.
You know, I could go to my green color palette, but I really like the default that Mario Land goes to. So let me.
Can you show the difference between how it looks in like you know its normal output or aspect ratio and how Firebrand X's profile fixes it?
I screwed up though because I accidentally hit the HDMI 1 on the FrameMeister. Which is dangerous because sometimes we'll see if it'll switch back on its own because sometimes it just like stops responding to remote things if I do that because if I hit HDMI 1 while it's okay there it goes it went fine it feeds the FrameMeister itself and that you know it just kind of gives up if you do that. This is the Super Nintendo aspect ratio. You know, it's like approximately what, like 1.2 times wider than it is tall. Mm-hmm. But if I go to, so what we're looking at right here, actually this is, hold on a second. We're actually not looking at the Firebrand. Okay. Now we're looking at let me do it properly here. So the SNS RGB 5X here is his full on Super Nintendo 5X profile, which I normally use the 5X ones personally. I might need to go back to say zoom again. Zoom on. Okay, so this is the normal. You know, you can use the Super Game Boy 2 borders. Look at all these borders that you aren't used to seeing. kind of neat, right? But yeah, so it's a little wider. That's normal Super Nintendo aspect ratio. I never even thought about that. Like some people have been saying, oh, the Game Boy games are the right aspect ratio on Super Nintendo. I never even thought about it. I never even thought about it until doing this episode. In fact, I think it was Bob who mentioned it after I'd already shot my sections. I think Bob mentioned something about the aspect ratio. I was like, you know what? That just never even crossed my mind because you said that the aspect ratio is correct on GameCube. Regardless, because it does a square pixel output, which in Game Boy pixels are square.
Yeah, that always bothered me. I vaguely remember as a kid, at first, of course, just being fascinated that I was able to play a Game Boy game mm-hmm. on a TV. But after a while, I did kind of notice, like, especially in the original Super Mario Land, why do the pyramids not look like pyramids? You know, look like hills.
I literally never thought of it, but I noticed it while I was editing footage, kind of a mixture of footage that was in the 5X and the 7X profiles, and I was like, wait a second, that wolf, he got this set right.
Yeah, talk about thorough. That guy does everything you need.
Yeah, so here we go. We got full screen Mario Land here, basically. Here, let me turn the volume up. I'll turn on my speakers so you guys can hear at least a little bit, maybe. Can y'all hear it at all? On Skype? You guys on Skype?
I can hear it.
Yeah, yep. I can hear it.
Okay, good. So I'm just doing normal, but...
Yeah, because I want to hear the... I love how the slowdown music. And that was kind of a thing that was kind of a revelation, is that the Game Boy Player is made by Hori as well.
Yeah. So...
I mean, even Norm contacted us. He's like, where did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Norm, the gaming historian.
Mm-hmm. But what's so cool about this is that it's like... Like, the frame rate is unchanged.
Right.
But the game itself is just moving in slow motion.
It's so cool. Like, it's just kind of like, hey, they wanted to do it, and they knew that they could do it.
Right.
Since they made
So there's the command that it sends to the system that just a normal controller does not send, but it is a built-in function of the Game Boy, Super Game Boy hardware, and only this controller sends that command. I mean, you know, you could probably mod a Super Nintendo controller to do that, but it makes this like whoosh sound effect
when it first starts doing
that.
Yeah. And when you first got it, you did a little periscope about it.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, the latter minigame, like, it'd still be pretty hard to get it right, I think.
It's still pretty cool how good that looks on the, you know, through the frame meister, even on the stream with the compression. It's still really cool to see how good these games look.
Yeah.
And it also kind of blew my mind to see if you go like this versus 6 Golden Coins. They're both Mario games. They're both side scrollers, but this looks like what you would expect, you know, a launch series Game Boy game to look like. But the 6 Golden Coins looks awesome. It almost looks like it's different hardware, you know?
Yeah, it almost looks like it's like more like Super Nintendo-esque looking.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's weird. Like, as a kid, I liked Mario Land 2 better as a kid. But today, I definitely like this game more. Like, I feel like Mario Land 2 was... Oh, dang it, I am, like, playing terrible in general tonight. Mario Land 2, like, I think it was trying really hard to be a bit more like the console Mario games, and this game just kind of, like, throws your Mario expectations out the window. And just, like, it just kind of does its own thing. Like, it feels, like, just in terms of, like, theme and everything, like, it's very different. Like, it just makes more of its own identity. It's got great music. Like, I think the music in this game is much better than Mario Land 2. Mario Land 2's got some pretty good music, too.
I remember getting that as a kid. I remember when we got the Game Boy. I was just so bummed that it didn't come with a Mario game. I couldn't believe it came with Tetris instead of a Mario game.
Yeah, I,
it's smart, though.
I mean, the thing was, Tetris, like, kind of had this universal appeal. Like, Tetris is like, kids' parents played Tetris, you know?
Yeah. I mean, in hindsight, I mean, I'd probably pick up that backlit original Game Boy and play Tetris on a regular basis, both for, you know, on the original Game Boy for nostalgia, but also because it's still a great game today, you know?
Mm-hmm. It is funny, though. I mean, that second level music, I think it was Wes was saying, I still hum the music to this. And that was like the first music choice we said, we know it's like going to be the...
It's going to be the... Like, we knew that like a year ago, probably. Like, the first music that plays, other than our own theme, in the Game Boy episode is going to be Mario Land World 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a great tune. I don't know. I just like this game. It's very, you know, like I say, I like it a lot more now than I did as a kid. Like, it's a very different game. But I did get it. I got it with my Game Boy. You know, you were talking about Mario Land 2. Okay, here we go. Let's slow this down.
Where I could even hear it coming out of your TV. Probably disappointing.
The slowest version is definitely disappointing. Let me get past these fish and then I'll speed up to the next level. It's a little disappointing. I ain't gonna lie. It's a little disappointing.
Yeah.
But like this, well, this slow mode is unlike anything I've seen in another game. The invincibility music is good in slow-mo.
Well, that's like a, that's an actual like other song.
Yeah, it's like,
it's like a real.
Is it like a Russian song?
Something, I maybe. Which is kind of an odd choice, really.
Yeah.
Why not just use a typical Mario invincibility music?
This game really
especially
wanted to
when
make
they
its
had
own
such
identity.
Great music. You yeah. know, for all the other games, original compositions. Although, I think the Zelda, the original Zelda theme was very heavily borrowed from a 70s Spanish song.
Really?
Like, really?
Like a traditional...
Like the overworld music?
Yeah, because, well, the main, like, the title theme, because I was sitting, I had a few beers in me, and I was with my wife and my cousin. We were sitting outside of, you know, eating Mexican food, and all of a sudden this song came on, and I started freaking out. I'm like, this is the Zelda theme. And what was it, like, that, you know, the app that you play that tells you what song's playing? I had,
oh, yeah, the Shazam.
Yeah, Shazam. That actually knew what song it was, and I downloaded the song, and it's absolutely, it's without a doubt, one of the composers was a fan of that kind of music.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny. I had no idea. I love the main overworld Zelda music.
Me too. That and the Super Metroid music are still my favorite video game soundtracks ever.
I was just recording little snippets of some MSU1 games for the upcoming EverDrive episode, and it's, you know, like Link to the Past. That's like definitely gonna be way that I play through it next time I play through it.
Yeah, it's with the orchestrated. Oh,
yeah,
yeah, blew my mind the first time I did that. I just couldn't believe I was playing, you know, my favorite Zelda game with like legit CD quality orchestra music.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm working on that. Actually, I just got done reshooting like my whole entire on camera thing because I was not super happy with it. I was kind of sick still from, you know, like you could tell in this Game Boy episode that I was just getting over being sick. My voice is kind of weird. And I was also for the EverDrive stuff that I shot. And I, you know, somebody, one of our patrons, like, enlightened me on something, like an issue with Turbo EverDrives on Duos. Like, it causes, there's an issue with, if you, like, boot to the CD-ROM, it causes, like, this kind of, like, infighting between the RAM and the EverDrive. And it puts all this wear and tear on the RAM, I guess. Like eventually,
really?
It's kind of like somebody had to wrote a patched ROM for like the System 3 card. So I wanted to put that in there, but I couldn't re-record my audio for it because I'm sick in one, and then my voice would sound completely off. So I just decided to go back and rewrite and add a whole bunch of stuff into the script, and I reshot it all today.
So this underwater music sounds like really awesome with the slow-mo.
Oh, I can't really hear it.
Yeah, it sounds really good.
Such a weird, there's like a shooter level, like shooter
levels.
There's
two shooter levels, yeah. The last boss is a shooter boss.
Oh, Smoke Monster is in here. Smoke Monster, where I didn't even realize. Very, very big fan of your ROM packs.
Yep, and I guess he has the Turbo CD BIOS patches included, so he doesn't have to in the Turbo EverDrive packs. So I guess
that's great, but it won't work. It doesn't work on the EverDrive version 1 because there's no RAM on it, so it doesn't work right.
Interesting. Yeah.
So I'm out of luck in terms of the version one, but you know, you can't get version one anymore. So I just wanted to have that in there because I think that's like necessary information for people.
Yeah, definitely. I just, once I get my, my duo back from Voltar, I'm going to be playing through Castlevania for the first time. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Great game.
I'm working on a Legend of Link, the fan hack for NES now. Holy crap, that thing's brutal.
Oh, that's cool. Smoke Monster, thanks for that. Like, it's just so cool to have you in here because I use your stuff for all of my Amber Drives. And I don't specifically say about them in the episode because I don't want to like specific, like flat out say like, oh, this is where you get everything. If that makes sense,
that's,
you know, like
that's standard protocol for, you know.
Yeah, like I say, oh, you can do all this stuff, but I kind of make it a point for each section to say like, here's some of the cool things that I recommend trying out if you have one for this system. And you know, I try to, you know, like I'm going to go through and put all the, you know, just like different things that I think are cool, like hacks and other stuff for each system. You know, like I can put the like the palette hacks for like the Genesis and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, those were really impressive too. I never knew like how Chiron much of a difference that would make. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm gonna try to really do like I am putting a lot of stuff like that in there, but I'm not gonna say like I just don't wanna say here's where you get like all the because, you know, like I don't.
But you don't need to, because literally, if you just type in Smoke Monster ROM set into Google, it's the first thing that pops up. So you're good to go.
Yeah.
So, how exactly are you guys doing the streaming now again? Just for the people that are signing on now, because I always ask you guys, and I know it's always the same answer, but for people that don't know, because it's kind of cool the way you guys do it. So it's a Framemeister through a capture through OBS?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And which capture card are you using?
Avermedia Extreme Cap U3, which is like actually a little bit old at this point.
Yeah, ooh. I'm actually going to upgrade. I'm upgrading my with gift cards, whatever gift cards I get for. I mean, my birthday is in a little bit over 2 weeks plus, you know, Christmas. I'm gonna upgrade my capture card. I'm gonna get a Magewell.
So now with the new capture cards, the color in most of them is 442, and do you know if the newer ones do full 444 color?
I think the Magewells do 444. Yeah,
and they're not compatible with 240p. I'm assuming so. You would have to have some kind of upscaling.
No, Magewell apparently like does everything.
Really?
Badass Consoles used one, and he's like, I wrote to him and asked him about it. You know, once I found out that he used one, he said the only thing I couldn't figure out is like why I haven't been using one this entire time. Because it will, he said it's not about what resolutions it sees. It's the more of the bigger question is like what doesn't it see?
So I've been using the PDX HD cap, the you know, the USB 3.1 from StarTech that's kind of the And I really like it. I just, there's a couple of strange issues with the software and, you know, but overall, I mean, I think at least for me, it's been perfect, but I would like something, you know, if I'm going to upgrade. Is that, do you know that Magwell one? Is that USB or PCI?
They have a USB one, but I want to get the one I'm going to get is a PCI. I want to get one that's internal because I feel like there's less chance for like dropped frames and whatnot with that. Like, I just feel like it's faster than USB 3. I might get an SSD just to, like, capture 2. We'll see.
Yeah, that's well, my laptop has a 1 terabyte SSD in it, and then my desktop has, you know, dual, like, a big hard drive and an SSD, so it, I'm able to do that. How much do these Magwells cost, though? Because I just typed in Magwell Capture, and they're like $800 at B&H.
Well, there's one that has like 4 HDMI inputs on it.
Yeah.
That does it. I mean, that is like $800. The one I'm looking at does 1080p 60, but it also has like a has component inputs, it has composite inputs, it has S video inputs, and HDMI, and it's $300. $299.99.
Now, does it actually have like an S video port, or is it like you have to use like a BNC Luma Chroma breakout?
No, it's a S video port. It has a breakout cable. Like a dongle that has composite.
Because I think the Black Magic is supposed to do. I think it's supposed to do S video, but you have to use a BNC breakout that's like Luma. And dang, I am just bad at games tonight. I think you're supposed to have a Luma Chroma. I was used to that at work because we used S video for our main studio cameras at work years and years ago, and and they connected S video via these breakout cables.
Yeah, I mean it only has composite. Yeah. But the problem with the Blackmagic is it doesn't see 240p. It only see 480i and up. But, I mean, we'll see what happens with the Magewell. Like, that's my purchase, I think, that I'm going to... I always try to get, like, a little bit of stuff to, you know, put towards the channel at the end of the year. And it's going to be the thing this year.
So what is the $800 Magewell?
It has four HDMI inputs.
Does it so do you could 4K? Stream 4.
I don't think it does 4K.
The ones I was just looking at does up to, it says 1900 by pretty much 1080p. Yeah, 1920 by 1200. So, you know, just over 1080p.
Hmm. Right. There is one that does like 2K. That is like, you know, it has a SDI input on it as well, and that one's like $470 or something. And that's kind of what I was looking at for a little bit, but the reason I kind of, not only does Badass Console recommend them, I was talking to if you're familiar with Digital Foundry, they do all like the frame rate tests and stuff like that for modern systems.
Yeah.
And they use a Magewell card, and they're very, very happy with it. So, it's gonna be.
Well, I'll have to look into it because I'm trying to switch back to just laptops, just to, you know, downsize it even more. So yeah. But I mean, I really don't have any complaints about mine, the USB one. So,
see, Tri has no problems. I like a lot of times will get dropped frames, and I don't know if it's just because I have so much stuff plugged into my computer and my USBs at this point. Jeez, Tri, what was that?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm disappointed in myself tonight. What was that? I cannot play games tonight.
Next week we're gonna have Voltar, who is in the chat, will be on stream with us. I have to shoot a video for local church that they hired me to shoot, like a concert, but it's supposed to be over by, it's from like 7 to 8, so hopefully there'll be no issue of me getting home on time. But if so, you guys might need to start without me.
Alright, just let me know. Wow, I cannot play games. I just can't.
At least, you know what?
I think it was, like, when I was playing this before, I was like, all right, like, I gotta do this. I just have to get through it. And, like, I just tackled it, no problem.
Maybe you should play Revenge of Shinobi.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, I blame hit detection on that. What was that?
Are you almost to the end in this game?
I'm close-ish. If I finish the game, it won't be long after 11. Like,
I love the Easter Island statues in the background, because you know that totally has something to do with the Mario game.
Yeah, yeah. This is the third. There's only 12 levels in this game.
Almost like it's like like Mario meets Gradius.
Yeah, right.
There's four worlds and three levels in each.
I haven't played this through to the end in such a long time.
Wait, is this the end of the game?
No, there's... Oh. I'm starting the last world now. Which has...
Okay.
Which has new music, so we gotta listen to it in slow-mo.
In terms of, like, you know, we were talking about the Magewell stuff. We have an idea of doing, like, a complete, like getting, like recording game footage episode in, like, the best quality. We want to do an episode on that next year, and I was thinking, like, maybe we could work with the Digital Foundry guys, and also I was talking to Joe from GameStack about doing it. And, like, maybe, like, the three of us could team up to make this, like, really comprehensive game capture video. Like, how to do it. And, like, you know, because for a while there, we were saying, like, oh, we should do a, like, a face-off of different capture cards. But why not, instead of doing something small like that, why don't we do, like, a huge blowout, like, compare a whole bunch of different options, but also, you know, like, different codecs and stuff like that. Like, I bet you we could do something really cool.
Yeah, that would be really awesome. I think, I mean, I know I would love to see that, and I would certainly learn from it, because Blizz, I think that's how you say his name, he had a website that he posted up on, you know, a lot of great info on that, and it was still just a little bit overwhelming for beginners.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could just do a video on that, just, you know, to know where to start, because even things like the USB 3 HD cap, the stream capture software it comes with, you know, as long as you tweak that with the correct driver and you know, the aspect ratio, it should be fine. But I would love to be able to have a completely different piece of software to use that I could just, much like the FrameMeister profiles, download something where I could, you know, just load up a patch for it and then just know exactly how I need to capture.
Right. I mean, I think it'd be probably do pretty well. I think a lot of people would be interested in that. So that's something that's has been discussed.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. Unless somebody in the chat takes the idea and does it now.
But will it be an hour long?
You know, it's funny because, you know, it was obviously never intended to be an hour long, but we have had an idea of doing like maybe like once a year doing a megasode, as we kind of like termed it,
like something, you know, like that a, would like, a, like something
like a huge
us.
Like a blowout of something, you know,
and we just never intended for this to be that.
Right. We do have another idea for, like, a megasode that we've been wanting to do a long time ago, but I think it'll happen this year. Like, maybe that'll be our one-hour-long blowout.
We gotta play it out, but I feel like this would be a good year to do it.
Yes. This year more than, like...
Other years.
Previously, yeah.
Well, this year meaning next year. Actually.
It is a game-based episode. It's not a hardware based episode.
It's the sort of episode where we have to work on it throughout the year, really. Which I kind of did on the Game Boy episode, but you know, it was funny because as I was like writing the Game Boy script, I'm like, man, you know, I'm scared this episode could be 40 minutes.
Yep.
Like, I don't know.
And, you know, I was telling Bob before, like, this episode was, like, 99.99% done completely by trying. Like, did you even use the component video plugins that I footage that I gave you?
Oh no, because by the time you had sent that, like I, what did I do? I think I just got a shot of. It was that shot of Fire Emblem Sacred Stones on my TV, and I was like, you know what? It'd be better if I just used a shot of a game on my TV instead of a shot of another plug-in shot. to be honest, I didn't even look at it. That'd be good for something in the future.
Yeah, it was a little dark. But yeah, I mean, I think that
you
captured some.
You captured some.
Like I captured
GBI ULL and Wii U.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and that's like it. But I mean, realistically, I mean that's all I could do because I didn't have any of the stuff here.
Right. I thought about we thought about you getting like you got some shots of the M2 game boxes.
For like a side box
thing
at one point. But really, I mean, like, it's an impressive feat that you did the entire thing, hour long thing, like completely on your own.
Yeah, I mean it. Like Bob said, and a few other people did say, you could have made it like a two-parter or a three-parter, or it was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
And it flowed really nicely. I'm glad you did it that way.
Yeah, we're kind of against, like,
We don't want to call something part one, part two. I mean, if it makes sense for them to be totally separate episodes, that's okay, but we don't want to say, like, this is Game Boy Part 1. Now this is Game Boy Part 2.
Yeah, I mean, we want it all to be like their one resource for it.
Yeah. I could have separated like handheld options and on TV options, but I feel like I would have like to explain the TV stuff the way I would want to. I would want to explain like the hardware, a bit. And I feel like to explain the hardware, you gotta talk about how the handheld works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's like there's just so much overlap anyway. Like it would have been more hours of content overall. It would have been more production and everything to do it over multiple episodes, I think. Just less extreme at one time.
Yeah.
Did you keep like an accounting of how many hours it would take or it took you to do it?
You know, I was thinking about, I started gathering a little bit of footage like back in June. I would like, that involved researching the devices, writing about the devices, gathering all the material for the devices, because I wanted to be sure. Let's see what the Tatanga battle music sounds like on slow-mo. Which is not really much music at all. If you were to take I was estimating that if you took about 1/6 of the work hours of a 40-hour a week job for a year, that's probably the amount of hours that I put into it.
Wow.
That's my guess.
Wow. Yeah, I'm obviously, mine are not going for quality. They're going for making sure I get it out every week. So I just, and I still, like, I got to have my buddy Kenji teach me how to do some of the Premiere profiles and stuff. And he was explaining what he does, but then we didn't have time to talk about how he does it, which you guys probably already know all about. So, yeah, there's so many of those tricks. It's just like, it's almost like learning another language.
So this music, this Daisy music, is like a remix of the level one theme, and I never realized that until I listened to it in slow-mo. Did you know that?
No. I mean, I've only beaten the game once.
Oh, this ending music is a contender for my favorite ending music of all time. I was so tempted to use it in place of our regular music.
Oh, yeah, you talked about it. You know, I was thinking about... I was going to say something I totally forgot. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, well. Whoops.
Man, I haven't seen the ending of this game in years.
So what I did, I went to the part after it says the end, and I took the clouds from that part. I made a mask. And then I moved the clouds from the last section over into the middle so that you didn't, so that the names, the credits names weren't in the way of the shot.
Oh, I see.
I mean, not to take away from their work, but I was kind of repurposing this for our own credits.
Yeah.
Go on.
I was just going to respond to a comment. We don't have any retro freak stuff at all. We haven't. We'd like to eventually cover it, but maybe like the time has passed at this point. I mean, like what? Like it's well over a year old now.
Oh yeah, I remember someone at MAGFest.
Yeah,
bought one. Someone who was at our panel.
We gotta get the Scart Switcher episode out in the first like couple months of this year too. You know, I feel like we have so much stuff like on our.
all of us have so much stuff.
I feel like this Game Boy thing though. Yeah. This is a thing that's been looming over me for over a year, right?
What the Scart Switcher?
No, the Game
Boy. The Game Boy. Yes.
So I mean, it's good that this is done and. I'm going to be able to clear up so much space shipping all this stuff back to Bob.
And it's just going to get put back in the storage pretty much from there.
Well, you were saying now that you're living in New York City, it's going to be good for you to have, you know, some handheld stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty much it because it's, I mean, having something small that I don't have to unpack and take out every time I want to use. So yeah, I'll probably get back into Game Boy games a lot once I get that shipment.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, your Game Boy EverDrive stopped working on me during production. I don't know what to deal with that.
Yeah, I'll email Chris when I get it.
Yeah, I hope it's something that can be fixed somewhat easily. Maybe it just like got tripped up and it needs some sort of like reset of some kind. I don't know.
I'll mess with it.
It stopped working, but thankfully I was able to get through without, you know, I couldn't have done the opening shot in the video without it because it was that shot where it starts off with the shot of Kirby's Dream Land and then Mario Land 2 and then Link's Awakening. And, you know, I would have had to move the Game Boy too much to take out, to swap carts to do that shot.
And that's what killed it.
No, oh, because I did the.
You got the Shantae shots that you needed. Right?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I wanted. I wanted to have like this, like it. At the beginning of the Game Boy Color section, I wanted to have this series of shots. You know, Shantae's got like five different like dance poses that you can do. And I wanted to have like this little like. I've got the Game Boy Color section music is music from Shantae, and I want to open that up with like Shantae like the string together like the five different animations into like a little dance that like went along to the intro of that song, but it was dead by the time I wanted to shoot that. And so I trimmed off the intro section to the music because it didn't work well without something cool to put on that. So I just went right into the main part of the music and just started off on the Game Boy Color box. But I don't know.
Yeah. Jira, I have not tried. I don't have a modded Master System with Game Gear slot, but you know, if I can't end up getting the consoleized Game Gear made, I might just get my Master System modded. Have a slot on it.
Could you really do that to your childhood Master System though?
It'd be hard, but you know what I think. Maybe I'd just get another one.
Yeah, I mean...
But I mean, you know, like, Voltar's supposed to be doing a mod, like, to remove jail bars and stuff from it. So... I guess that... And that's not removing composite video or anything like that. But I mean, I could do it, I think.
Yeah,
You just got a Master System.
Yeah, I mean that was
for $8.
For $8, like that was why I got it, because I thought it was an as is, box. At a glance, it looked like it was in not super great condition. Turns out it works, and I was able to clean it up to very good condition. So I wouldn't want to gut it for the Master System for the consoleized. Game Gear, but if adding a Game Gear slot to it, I mean, I would be totally cool with modding that Master System. But you know, it's kind of like Bob was saying, like this backlit Game Boy here. The Game Boy itself is his childhood Game Boy that was the oldest system that is still one of his originals. And it's kind of the same with my Super Nintendo. You know, I don't have my original NES. I don't have my original Game Boy. So my Super Nintendo is my oldest system that I own, and I feel like I want to keep it stock. You know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what my Master System.
You know, right now we're looking at the one chip 02, which I bought before doing this episode because I was like. I had this nagging. It was like, I shouldn't be spending this money, but it was just this nagging feeling like I didn't want to be recording all of the Super Nintendo footage for this episode on a modded mini. Like something about that just didn't feel quite as genuine as I wanted. I want to show what you can get with a Super Game Boy on an unmodified Super Nintendo. And so that was why I got that one chip 02, and it was a good feeling getting that system. I was really glad I got that. So now, I've still got my childhood system. It's kind of just sitting upstairs. I can kind of use it on the upstairs. So that shot of Donkey Kong in the ending of the video, that was shot with that, but that was, just S video on a consumer CRT, so it's not like you would even notice the difference on that.
Right.
Well, is that gonna do it?
I guess that about does it.
That puts a little bow tie on this adventure.
Yeah, it was. I mean, Corey was so sick last Sunday, and I was like, I felt sorry for him, but I was like, man, if we don't do a stream this week, I really need the time to be working on editing the episode. So.
I was telling these guys before the stream, I was sick. I was
you would
very,
not
very
have,
sick.
You would not have survived the stream.
I would have thrown up live on stream. All over myself.
I would turn that into a meme so fast.
I know, it'd be hilarious probably. I mean, it was a low moment for me. I was saying like...
A low moment in the life of Corey Carlson.
I know, I was like, I really felt my age. When it happened, I was writhing around on the couch for so long, and then I felt like I was going to throw up, and I was like going to make a run for the bathroom, and I like didn't even get a chance to stand up. Like it was like I sat up and I was like, And I, like, I threw up all over myself, all over the floor. I was, like, had my hand in my mouth, and it was, like, shooting, like, up, like, all over my face. And it was just, you know, it was like, all over me. It was... And then I, like, eventually, like, had a second where I could, like, run to the bathroom, and I had, like, a light from shooting the component thing that Try never used. and it, like, fell, like, next to the throw-up and, like, shattered all over the place. So it was, like...
So you have a broken bulb because of me that I never... For a shot that I never used.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was, you know, like, next to, like, the ridiculous amount of pea soup. No, it was, like, I don't even, like, I don't know what it was. It was, like, it was kind of purple because I had, like, drank some vitamin water earlier hoping it would, like, calm my stomach. But, man, if that had happened on stream... I don't think I could ever stream again after that. if like people saw that happen, it was just like I was covered.
Hey man, like my little brother always says, if you're gonna fail, fail big. That would have been an awesome stream.
And what's really crazy is that I had a work client was, you know, I picked up a freelance job and my client was supposed to come here the next day. I'm like, oh, it's gonna smell. I can't have them come here. And luckily I was just like, you know, I'm really sick. You shouldn't come here. So now they're coming tomorrow instead. And doesn't smell anymore. But whew, man. It was not fun. No, I don't think I made a quick recovery. It definitely took me a few days of going to bed at like 10:30 at night. Mm. You know. But I'm all good now. I haven't lost my voice or anything. I was able to reshoot my other script today. You know, everything's good. We're in a good spot right now.
Everything is good.
Yeah.
All right, well,
thanks so much for having me on, guys.
It's fun as always.
It's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
All right.
All right, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
I'll see you guys Wednesday.
Yep.